Hi, church. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to live stream.
Yes, we're so glad you're here with us. There's a Bible verse in 1 Corinthians, and it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things.
Yeah, amen.
And because of the love and the hope that you spread, you made a major difference in the lives of so many people this week.
Yep. You guys have been so generous, and I just want to remind you there are two ways to give. One through our Christ Church app, and also through our Christ Church Ohio website.
That's right. We want to share with you a few things we were able to accomplish this week for Love Week. We were able to send out hundreds of hygiene kits for families that need it. We were able to send thousands of dollars worth of groceries to kids all over Northeastern Ohio. We were able to help feed our first responders at UH Hospital, Southwest, some police stations, and also the National Guard.
We were also able to feed 70 individuals at a homeless shelter two times this week. We were able to give countless numbers of diapers and formula out to babies and families in need. And our Old Brooklyn campus is working on a food pantry with 8,000 pounds of produce and 250 bags of food. So well done, church.
Yes, you guys are incredible, and we just want to show you a little glimpse of what happened this week.
Yeah.
Good morning, Christ Church. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that you had a great week. I cannot wait till we can be back together. The governor said May 1st, things are going to start to open up. I don't know what that means for us yet, but at least that sounds like better news. And I want to thank you so much, church, this week for being part of our Love Week. It was just so encouraging and so amazing to see all the posts about buying people coffee and serving your neighbors and making masks and doing all these amazing things to show the love of Christ during this time. And I just want to thank you so much for being part of that. And let's just keep continuing that as much as we can in the coming days ahead. Well, today I want to share with you a special message about thriving in quarantine. But before we get into that, would you just pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that in this difficult time, we can rely on you. We thank you, Lord, that your word gives us guidance about how to thrive in any and every situation. And Father, we pray that we could be like the person that Psalm 1 describes. We could be that blessed person who meditates on your law day and night, and that in all that we do, we prosper. So help us to become those types of people, and we pray that we would seize this opportunity before us. And we ask this all in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I recently have been called into National Guard service, and it's been an amazing opportunity to just serve our local community, working in the food banks and some prisons and some other things going on, and it's just been a great deal. And one of the guys that I work with every day that I come in and I see him, I always ask him this question. I say, hey man, are you surviving or thriving? And usually he just kind of chuckles and says, I'm just surviving right now. And if I were to ask you that question, you might respond in kind of a similar way. You might just laugh a little bit, kind of a crazy laugh, and just say, well, I don't know about thriving, but we're making it. And I know this time is impacting all of us in very different ways, but would you be interested to know in learning how to thrive during this time? Because I think there's a way that we can do it. And we're going to look at a scripture today that is absolutely powerful in teaching us how to thrive in any time. And here's what the scripture is. It's Psalm chapter 1. It's the very first psalm. And you can turn there in your scriptures or hop on your smartphone, or if you're watching live stream, you can look in the notes. But here's what it says. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. And in the psalm, we see a picture of the thriving person. the person that I hope you want to be. My prayer is that you will be this and that I will be this during this time. But the psalmist gives us this beautiful picture of this thriving person, and then he's going to tell us how to become that. And it's a bit of what not to do, and also a bit of what to do. But let's first talk about what this person looks like, a thriving person. First of all, he says they're blessed. Blessed is the man who doesn't do these things, but then does these things. And blessed is obviously a word that we use a lot in the church context, but what blessed means is really deep happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment. It's what I think many of us really long for in our lives. It's just that deep sense of well-being and joy. Blessed is something more than just kind of a superficial happiness that you get from going to a great concert or eating a great meal, or those things, you know, aren't very lasting. Blessed is a state of being that we bring into our experience of life. It's a deep and satisfying happiness. And the psalmist says, hey, there's a path to get there. The other picture of the thriving person is that they have a certain depth to them. If you remember what I just read, he said that they're a tree, they're like a tree planted by streams of water. And the contrast in the psalm is the wicked, and they're not like a tree planted by streams of water, but he says they're like chaff driven by the wind. And in their ancient agricultural world, chaff was just sort of the throwaway from the harvest. You could think of it as like the husk of the corn. You take it off, you discard it, it doesn't have a purpose. It's just going to get thrown around by the wind or eventually thrown into the trash can. It just doesn't really have any stability or roots or any real meaningful purpose. But the person who's thriving, the blessed person, they have depth. They're planted. They're rooted. They're like a tree, not like the chaff. And becoming the thriving person means that God begins to make us people of depth, which I think that is something that is needed in our world today. We need people of depth, and we need to become people of depth. There are real problems. There are real issues. We're in unprecedented times as a nation and as a community, and there will be more obstacles ahead, and we need people of depth. We need people that realize that the best news source on the planet is not Facebook, and that there are realities that are deeper than that, and depth is part of what this person has. They're also nourished through all the different seasons because he says they're planted by streams of water. So they don't just have to rely on the rain, but they always have a place of nourishment to draw from. Even in the heat of the summer or in the seasons in between, they can always find the strength that they need. And then lastly, they are fruitful. Their leaf does not wither. They're fruitful. They prosper in all that they do. And in the Bible, being fruitful means that we're becoming the people God wants us to be. And not only that, we are adding value to the world around us. And so the psalmist says, do you want to be like this? Do you want a deep happiness? Do you want to be a person of depth? Do you want to be able to find nourishment in the good times and the bad? And do you want to be a person who bears fruit with their lives, who makes a difference for good? And I don't know about you, but the answer for me is yeah. I want to be like that. And I want this time to be a time that God can use to make me more like that. So the first thing that I want to challenge you with today is I want you right now to just decide in your heart that you're going to come out better out of this quarantine. Decide right now that you're going to thrive. See, I think one of the challenges of this time, it's so easy to make excuses for our complacency, for our laziness, for our fearfulness, for all these things. And I just want to challenge you to just make a deal in your own heart and mind that with God's help, you're going to find a way to thrive during this time and become more of who God wants you to be, not less. That's the first thing. Decide to be that blessed person. Because after all, I believe that's why David wrote this psalm. He said, here's what the blessed person looks like. Here's the outcome of their life. And he's writing that to say, you can become that if you decide to. So if we decide to, then the first thing we have to see is what not to do. Because that's how this psalm begins. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So this path to thriving, it first begins with realizing what not to do. And haven't you noticed in life that it really is oftentimes just as helpful to know what not to do as well as what to do? And this is what David is helping us to see. Number one, they don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And here's how I kind of personalize that and understand that in my own life, is we have to be wise about the people we model our lives after. And I would say right now, especially if you're listening to this and you're in junior high, high school, college, and you have a lot of life ahead of you, I want to challenge you to think about the people that you want to be like. Because I think in our culture, we have this obsession with becoming celebrities and Instagram famous. And we often admire people who have just, for different reasons, gathered all kinds of social media attention. And if we're not careful, that becomes the paradigm of what a meaningful life looks like for us. And I want you to think about that and say, is that really what a meaningful life looks like? We so easily just admire pro athletes, and it is amazing what they can do with their bodies and the gifts that God has given them physically. It's all really cool. And I love sports as much as anyone else. But at the end of the day, I want to model my life after people who love God. Because I think to me, that's far more impressive. I want to model my life after people who love their wives really well, who are great dads, who make a difference for Christ in this world. To me, those are the real heroes, and I want to be like them. And what the psalmist is saying is it's saying, be careful about the model that you're trying to create with your life. Don't idolize the wrong people, because the people that you hold up, the counsel, the influence that you let into your life will set your trajectory. Our heroes, the people we admire, they shape the trajectory of our lives. And so I think you have to choose them wisely. I don't care how successful you are, how much money you make. To me, if you treat your family horribly, that's not success. I don't care how athletic you are or what good shape your body is in. If your relationship with God is not there, then that's not who I want to be the models in my life of what I'm trying to be like. And so the psalmist says, choose those wisely, because it will influence us tremendously. He also says, don't stand in the way of sinners. And the idea here, I believe, is that the crowd around us cannot overcome our calling. In other words, standing in the way of sinners, I have this image in my mind about sort of a herd of people just going in one certain direction. And there you are, just kind of right in the middle of them, going with the flow, but the flow is going the wrong way. And one of the ways that we thrive is that we don't allow ourselves to just go with the flow when the flow is going in the wrong direction, but we challenge ourselves to instead follow our calling and become the people that God is asking us to be. Today, maybe your work culture is really toxic, and it drains you, it frustrates you, and maybe it also pulls you in. And when we're there, maybe it's easy to just follow what people are doing to deal with conflict in unhealthy ways like they are, to maybe cheat the system or be lazy, because that's just sort of what everyone is doing, and we just kind of fall into that way. But here's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, don't do that. Instead, you have a calling from God. If the environment is toxic, then decide that you're going to be the one that brings something healthy to it. As followers of Jesus Christ, I've always loved this metaphor. We are called not to be thermometers, but to be thermostats. You know the difference. A thermometer, what does it do? It just reflects the temperature of the room. If the room's warm, it'll show that. If the room's lukewarm, it'll show that. If the room's cold, it will reflect cold. But what does a thermostat do? It changes the temperature of the room. And that's what we're called to do. If you are in a difficult environment, instead of just succumbing to it, say, I'm going to be the light of Christ in this place. I'm going to bring joy that isn't here. I'm going to treat people differently because of my commitment to Christ. And I'm not going to let this environment overwhelm me. I'm going to overwhelm it with the goodness and the love of God flowing through me. And when we take that attitude and that posture of heart, we begin to thrive in new and different ways. And then he also says, don't sit in the seat of scoffers. And a scoffer is just a mocker. It's a person that criticizes, and yet never contributes. And so what the psalmist is saying you have a choice. You can either be a critic in life, or you can be a contributor. And being a critic, friends, is the easiest thing to do, but it does nothing good for your soul and my soul. It doesn't help us to thrive. I don't know about you, but last year, I confess this to you, to our church family, but last year, I believed in the hype of the Browns. Now, before you judge me too hard, I didn't believe that they were going to go to the Super Bowl, but I just believed that they were not going to be an embarrassment and that they were going to be a respectable team. And I know some of you are shaking your heads and you're just saying, how could you do that? I just lost sight of myself and I fell in. And I have something else to confess to you this morning. I'm starting to believe it again. I've been watching some of the moves that have happening. I've watched some of these YouTube series with the new head coach. And I'm beginning to see potential again. And church, I need you to pray that I would not fall into that temptation so that I don't throw things at my TV during the season this year, if there even is one. But you know, what I notice about Brown season and any season, it's so easy for me to watch the game and be like, what are these coaches doing? It's obvious that they need to run these kind of plays. It's obvious that they need to run this kind of defense. And in my mind, I've got it all figured out. And if they could just tune in, if I could just have my voice go into their helmets or into their headsets, then the game could turn around and it could be won. But you and I both know that it's probably more complicated than that. And that if I were in their role, I would do an even worse job. Maybe. I still wonder that sometimes. But my point is that it's easy to be a critic. But when you actually step into the role that you're criticizing, or you step into the person's shoes that you're criticizing, it's often a very different story. And so what I would say is don't try to live your life as a critic. Don't be that person that is always pointing out how your boss could have done a better job. Don't be that person who finds their sense of well-being by picking apart how unsuccessful other people are. Instead, be that person that says, no, I'm going to contribute. Critique, anybody can do that, but I'm going to step up and I'm going to contribute. And I'm going to be around people who are contributors and not critics. And the psalmist says, if you can move away from these things, it can help you to thrive. So that's what not to do. But now let's talk about what he says to do. He says, but his delight, the thriving person, the blessed person, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the teaching of the Lord. That's today what I think we could say is the scriptures. What we're reading here, Psalms and these books that have become our Bible, this is the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. This is what the blessed person does. And what's fascinating to me is that you can read so many articles and so many books with medical professionals and psychological professionals and sort of human performance professionals. And across all these fields, they will all today tell you that meditation adds tremendous value to your life, that it will increase your willpower and it will give you a sense of happiness. And it will help you to be able to learn things faster. And you can read benefit after benefit with hard science behind it about the benefits of meditation. And what I find funny about that is that this psalm was written 3,000 years ago. And 3,000 years ago, a man of God said, hey, listen, if you want to live a thriving life, meditate day and night on the law of the Lord. And I just find it amazing that what Scripture said so long ago, our modern world has said, you know what? The Bible's actually right about that. But yet it was written so long ago. And I just love when the truth of the Scriptures is validated in other arenas in our life. But let me just make a distinction, because I think there is some difference between what we typically understand as, you know, more modern or Eastern meditation versus a biblical meditation that Psalm 1 is talking about today. And here's some differences. A lot of times when people talk about meditation today, they talk about emptying themselves. Just kind of clearing your mind, clearing your thoughts, clearing your desires. And it's all about kind of emptying ourselves of all that sort of thing. But biblical meditation is actually about filling ourselves. It's about filling ourselves with the truth of God, with the presence of God, with the purpose of God, and with the help of God. Modern meditation is just about disengaging from everything, from our senses and our work and our jobs and our families and our relationship. But biblical meditation is about engaging, and specifically engaging with who God is asking us to be and what he's asking us to do and how he's directing our lives. Modern meditation is more about getting to the center of my truth. Who am I? What do I want? What's the deepest desire in my soul? And it tends to be focused on me and my truth. But biblical meditation is focused on God's truth. He delights in the law of the Lord. I think that there's obviously some benefits to what I would call more modern meditation, but there are tremendously more to biblical meditation, to taking time to create a habit in our life of memorizing, thinking, and meditating on Scripture. It makes us thrive. Many years ago, a great mentor and friend, he just showed me kind of one of the ways that he does it. He would just write a scripture that really jumped out to him, that kind of met him in this season of life. And he would write it on just an index card and carry it around. And then throughout the day, he would pull it out and read it. And as he read it, he would just kind of try to think about what it means to him, hear it as God's voice to him, get direction, get encouragement, whatever it might be speaking to. And it was a discipline in his life. And I want to say to you today that I believe that is one of the most helpful things we can do, and maybe one of the most profitable things we can do during this time, is to find a practice and put some effort into knowing God's word and getting it into our hearts and our minds in a deeper and a more consistent way. All throughout the Scripture, we see this theme repeated. God says to Joshua, right after he takes over Moses' role, which was a huge shoes to fill, and he says, Joshua, the key to success for you is to meditate day and night on my word. Don't let it depart from your lips. What if the key to thriving for you and me is to deepen our relationship, to make a new habit in our life of meditating on the truth of God's word to us? It might sound too simple to you. It might sound out of reach to you. But here's what I want you to know today. I believe if you will just try it, it will transform you. And it will transform me. And it will greatly help us to thrive during this time. I recently heard the story of this guy. His name is Brady Boyd. And he was a pastor in Colorado Springs. And when he became a pastor there, it was after a national sex scandal had rocked the church. And he was the pastor to come after it. And this can be, as you can imagine, an absolutely devastating blow in the life of a church. So he inherited that whole mess. And then 12 months after that, a deranged man walked into his church and began to open fire and killed two young women from his church. So within 12 months, the church had this horrible sex scandal, and then they had a shooting, and he was in the middle of all this as a new pastor, and he said, I just was absolutely devastated and broken, and he thought, there is no way we are going to survive as a church. And he said, the best thing I could think to do is just to lead the church through this process of transitioning out and just see where God would lead us next. And he had no hope and nothing in him. He was exhausted and just at the end of his rope, as you could probably imagine him being. And so when the time came to do a big public service with all the dignitaries there from the state after the shooting and the families from those who had lost their lives during it, he said he literally could not think of anything to preach, anything to say, and he felt God just say to him, just, you can take one of my sermons. And so all he did was get up and read scripture. And he read Psalm 1. This is his first one. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in the season. He just read through it. Then he read through another scripture. And he said he realized that that was the beginning of God rebuilding their church and leading them through this. And you know what? They made it. And they're thriving now. And it was because they had time as a church where they meditated, where they just took in the words and the truth of God, and they let it lead them and guide and rebuild their souls. It's a powerful thing. And I want to challenge you during this quarantine, don't meditate more on the Tiger King than the scripture during this time. I've not seen that show. Everybody has told me all about it. But here's what my point is. I'm kind of joking around. But my point is use this time to let the truth of God get into your heart and your soul in a new way. And then one last thing I want you to see. He says, but his delight, this blessed person, is in the law of the Lord. And maybe you're just tuning in and you don't have a huge delight to take the steps I'm asking you to take to create a new habit in your life, to try to memorize and think about and meditate on the scriptures. But here's something I want you to know that maybe will help you, and something that I think makes the truth in the Word of God become more of a delight to us. And it's this: the law of the Lord becomes a delight when we realize that Jesus Christ has made you and I a delight to God. See, I believe the scripture is God speaking to us. I believe it's the primary way that he's going to communicate to you and to me. That when we read those pages, when we internalize them, when we think about them, it's God speaking into our life. And I want you to know today that you have a God who absolutely loves you, who is absolutely for you. A God who said, I will sacrifice my very best to bring you into my kingdom and into my presence. I will forgive all your failures and mistakes, and I will do it all at my own expense. And when you realize that you have a God that isn't looking to bring the hammer down on you, that isn't looking at you and saying, what a disgrace, what an absolute joke, what an absolute mess up, but you have a God who said, I love you and I will give you my son to bring you back to me. When you see that, God, then I think you'll have, and I'll have, a more open heart to hear everything that he wants to say to us. And when you hear his voice more clearly in your life, and I hear it more clearly in my life, it leads us to a place not of surviving, but of thriving. And would you bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us right now, Lord, to just decide that we are going to thrive during this time. Father, for those of us who are listening right now, but we've never known that you are a God that loves us. We've never experienced your salvation. We've never realized that you went to the cross to die for our sin. And Father, that your act of self-sacrifice is the greatest act of love that we could ever imagine. Father, we pray that if we've never received that before, we could just receive that right now by faith. Father, we acknowledge that you are Lord of our lives, that you died and rose again for us. And Father, we not only want you to lead our life, but we want you to speak into our life and to shape it. And Father, we pray that you would also help us to learn to meditate on your law day and night. Father, we fill our minds with so much junk and we consume so many TV shows and so much social media. But Father, would you teach us and create in us a passion to consume your word? And we pray that it would grow strong within us and we would be like that tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We can't wait to see you next week at the same place and same time.
Have a great day, church.